Hare Krishna. I'm very happy to be here with you all, especially to be with my very dear godbrother. His Holiness Shivaram Swami Maharaj is a special good fortune for me. Maharaj is here recuperating from an operation, and it's very kind that he took the time to decide to come and see me. So we had a wonderful meeting together for the last 1 hour. It's always so nice to be with senior devotees and share our experiences. And actually, Maharaj was supposed to leave right after the darshan of the deities. But Maharaj decided to stay on, causing great embarrassment for me. And so, actually, I was suggesting that Maharaj and I sit together and give a class together. But he declined that proposal because Maharaj was feeling that he may have to leave in the middle of the class. So that's why he decided to stay, sit close to the door. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Shruti Dharma Prabhu suggested that we are going to speak on Srila Haridas Thakur today. We selected the topic because in the age of Kali, the deep process for spiritual advancement is chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So this is the process, and not only that, in this particular age, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra has been given to us by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to create a very, very special good fortune for us. That is, Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to open up the gate of Golok Vrindavan, to enable us to go to Golok Vrindavan. What is Golok Vrindavan? Golok Vrindavan is the topmost region of the spiritual sky. The spiritual sky has different levels. Goloko namni nijadhamni tale cha tasya devi mahesha haridham shuteshu teshu. So the topmost region of the spiritual sky is Golok. And below Golok are gradually Haridham, that is abode of Hari, Narayan. That is Vaikuntha. And below Vaikuntha is Maheshtham, the abode of Lord Shiva. Then below that is Devi Dham, this material nature, the abode of, the domain of Durga Devi, Mahamaya. So that is the general description of the spiritual and material sky. Now the topmost region, as we can see, is Golok Vrindavan. And this Golok has again two chambers, two sections. One section is Vrindavan and the other section is Navadvip. In Vrindavan, Krishna is enjoying the loving exchange with his most intimate devotees. That is the activity of Krishna in Braj or Vrindavan. He is having a very intimate loving exchange with his devotees. Predominantly in the mellow of conjugal love. And that conjugal mellow is being supported by parental and friendship. These two are the mellows. So that is Golok, Vrindavan. Now, what Krishna is experiencing in Vrindavan, in Navadvip, the same Krishna as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing that love. In Golok Vrindavan, Krishna is enjoying this loving exchange with his devotees. And in Navadvip, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna is distributing that love, Krishna prem. Namo Mahavadannaya, Krishna prema pradayate. What is the special characteristic of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Krishna prema pradayate. He is pradayate. He is giving out, distributing Krishna prema. Now, what's so special about this Krishna prema? Krishna prema is the most precious object of the spiritual world. Golokero premodhan. The most precious object of Golok. This object is so precious, so rare, that it is rarely available for Lord Brahma. It's rare even for Lord Shiva. It's rare even for Lakshmi Devi. So this is how rare, how precious this Golokir Premdhan is. The loving exchange that Krishna has with his devotees in Golok Vrindavan. Now, in this particular age, what is this age? What is this? In Brahma's day consists of how many? What is the length of Brahma's day? How many of you know? 1,000 Chaturyugas. One Chaturyuga means Satyayuga, Tretayuga, Dwaparyuga and Kaliyuga. All together, they make one Chaturyuga. 1,000 such Chaturyugas make a day of Brahma. So what is the duration? The duration is 4.32 billion years. Is a day of Brahma. And this day of Brahma has been, again, in a day of Brahma there are 14 Manus. So 1,000 divided by 14 is roughly 71. The duration of one Manu's reign is 71 Chaturyugas. And there are 14 Manus. And the seventh Manu is called Vaivashvata Manu. The Manu who is the son of Vivashvan. Imang Vivashvate Yogam, you will remember. Imang Vivashvate Yogam, Praktavan Ahamabhayam, Vivashvan Manave Praho. Vivashvan gave it to, Vivashvan is the sun god, and Vivashvan gave it to Manu, his son. So this is the Sayambhuva Manu, who is actually ruling over this Manvantar. And in Vaivashvata Manu's 28th Chaturyuga, out of 71 is the duration of his reign. Out of that, in 28th Chaturyuga, in the Dwapar Yuga, Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, comes here. Krishna is not an incarnation. Krishna of Vrindavan is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ete Changsha Kalapungsha, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. There are innumerable incarnations, but all these incarnations are expansions and expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna is that Supreme Personality of Godhead from whom all these incarnations come. So, there are many incarnations, like Rama Adi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishthan. These are all Kala Niyamena Tishthan. They are all expansions and expansions and expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. But Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that Supreme Personality of Godhead comes once in a day of Brahma, and this is the Chaturyuga. 7 Vaivashvata Manus, 28th Chaturyuga, and in Dwapar Yuga, that original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, has revealed his or enacted his pastimes. And in the following Chaturyuga, following what comes after Dwapar Yuga? Kali Yuga. So in this Kali Yuga, where we are now, Krishna appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Krishna is enjoying in Vrindavan, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing what Krishna is enjoying, making it available to everyone. Although it is rare for even Brahma, Shiva, and even Lakshmi Devi, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing it without any consideration of eligibility and qualification. That is the special good fortune that we have. So Krishna's pastimes and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are, in a way, two sides of the same coin. Krishna is enjoying, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing. The same Krishna prem. So Krishna enjoys in Vrindavan, in his pastimes, and in a way you can say that Krishna's the counterpart of Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Navadvip. Navadvip and, of course, Jagannath Puri. So these are the two places where Mahaprabhu spent most of his time. And in Krishna's pastimes, there was a very wonderful incident. Brahma couldn't recognize Krishna. When Krishna killed Aghasura, Krishna was only 6 years old. And he killed Aghasura, a demon who was so terrible that even the demigods were afraid of him. Not only afraid of him, just by hearing the name of Aghasura, they used to tremble with fear. And that Aghasura was so easily killed by Krishna, this little boy, a six-year-old cowherd boy. So Brahma started to wonder, who is this boy? Is he my lord and master Narayan? So Brahma thought that because other than Narayan, who could kill Aghasura? Nobody was a match. Not even Lord Shiva couldn't deal with him. He was so powerful. And this boy so easily killed him. So he considered to just see who this boy is like. So he kept on watching him. And after killing Aghasura, Krishna, along with his friends, went to the bank of Jamuna, and they let the calves graze in the field, and they all sat down having a picnic. They carried different boys carried his breakfast packet, and so they sat together and they started to eat. And Brahma saw an unusual happening, that these boys, some of the boys, when he liked what his mother made for him, he liked it so much, when he saw that it was so tasty, he said, "Krishna, Krishna, see how tasty this sweet is that my mother made." And Krishna said, "Let me see." So Krishna would take that and eat it. Now, eating the remnants is not a done thing. Generally, people don't eat remnants because remnants are considered to be contaminated. And when Brahma saw that Krishna and his friends are dealing with each other in such a way, like some of the boys saw something in Krishna's plate and he wanted to take it, and he would say, Krishna, look at the bird there. And when Krishna just looked at the bird, he just coolly took that food from Krishna's plate and started to eat it. So in this way they were having their exchanges. So Brahma saw that, he felt that Narayan will never behave like this, and nor will anyone ever dare to deal with Narayan in this way, offering his remnants to Narayan. Yeah. So Brahma became quite surprised. Brahma became completely surprised to see, and he began to wonder, then who is this boy? So in order to check him out, Brahma just stole the calves that Krishna and his friends were taking care of. And all of a sudden they saw that the calves were missing. So they became very worried. Where did the calves go? So Krishna said, don't worry. They have gone inside the forest. I'll just bring them back. You all continue having your breakfast. You're having your food. Saying that, Krishna went to look for the calves and he couldn't find the calves. So when he came back, he found that the cowherd boys are also missing. So when Krishna went to look for the calves, Brahma stole the cowherd boys. And he put them, the calves and cowherd boys, in a cave. And so when Krishna came back, he saw that his cowherd boyfriends are also missing. So Krishna started to wonder what happened. And then Krishna realized, after all, he is the omniscient Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he could figure out what happened. And he figured out that Brahma actually was trying to check him out. So then he said, okay, Brahma, I'll show you who I am. So Krishna expanded himself into all those cowherd boys and into calves. So it took Brahma just 1 second to take these boys and the calves and put them into the cave. And then as Brahma turned around and saw, although it took him 1 second, but according to our calculation, it was 1 year. So Brahma saw that the same cowherd boys, same calves are still there. The calves are grazing in the field and the cowherd boys are still there having their picnic. And Brahma then again looked at the cave and he saw these cowherd boys and calves are all fast asleep due to his arrangement. And then Brahma again looked back at the scene in Vrindavan, and Brahma saw, and this time what did Brahma see? Brahma saw that all these cowherd boys and calves are Narayans. Brahma knew about one Narayan, and here he is seeing so many Narayans in place of these cowherd boys and the calves. So then Brahma recognized who Krishna is. So Brahma fell down at his feet and begged forgiveness profusely. And Krishna said, don't worry, Brahma, it's okay. But although Brahma was forgiven by Krishna, but Brahma still felt very, very guilty and very very embarrassed and guilty. And so Brahma went and performed great austerity to free himself from this sinful reaction. And then Brahma, when he was lamenting, performing austerities, he did that in Navadvip, in one of the islands of Navadvip, which is called Antardvip. So then Krishna appeared to him. But here Krishna appeared in a rather unusual form. Krishna's complexion is generally like monsoon cloud, but this personality, although Krishna, his complexion was like molten gold. So Brahma asked, so Krishna assured him, don't worry, Brahma, you have forgiven, there is no need to feel so guilty. And so then Brahma asked, I have never seen you in this form before. So Krishna said, yes, I will appear in this form soon in this place, Navadvip, in the coming Kali Yuga. And then Brahma requested that please allow me also to be a part of your pastimes when you come, in this pastimes. So Krishna said, fine. Or rather, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, you can come in this pastime. Then Brahma made a very special request. He said, look, when I get the feeling that I am Brahma, when I'm aware of my position as Brahma, you have seen how arrogant and conceited I become, that even I dare to test your identity. So it's because of my elevated position that I develop this kind of attitude. So please allow me that in these pastimes, I will come in a very fallen and degraded condition. So Krishna also assured Brahma that that would happen. And as a result of that, Brahma, who is the best of the Brahmanas, he appeared in a Muslim family, which is considered to be untouchable outcast. And that is Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur appeared in a Muslim family. But obviously, from his childhood, he was a pure devotee. He was, although born in a Muslim family, and the early part of Haridas Thakur's activities or pastimes, there is not much description of that. But Haridas Thakur, it is understood that Haridas Thakur, when he was young, at his young age, he left home and came to a place called Benapol, which is now in Bangladesh, eastern part of Bengal. And there Haridas Thakur was chanting the holy name of the Lord. He used to chant 300,000 names a day. That means 192 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day. We have difficulty chanting even 16 rounds. And he was chanting 192 rounds. And then naturally people became very impressed by seeing his devotion, seeing his austerity. But the landlord of that place became very envious of him. He felt that this person is a Muslim and people are worshiping, even the Hindus are showing him so much respect. So he wanted to dishonor him. And the way he decided to do that is that he called the prostitutes and he proposed that, can you all make him fall down? So one young prostitute who was extremely beautiful and naturally very confident of her ability, she proposed, okay, I will take up that responsibility. I'll make him fall down. So this person, his name is Ramchandra Khan, he said, okay, I will send my soldiers with you, and when you make him fall down, then my soldiers will go and arrest him and bring him here, and then I'll punish him. So this prostitute, whose name was Lakshya Hira, which means Lakshya means 100,000. And Hira means diamonds. She was as brilliant as 100,000 diamonds. So she said, "No, first let me make him fall down, and the next night, you come and arrest him. You say send your soldiers at that time." So she went, dressed up naturally in a very, very attractive way, and he went and Haridas Thakur and proposed that, "You are such a handsome young man, I want to have your association." So Haridas Thakur said, "Okay, but you see, every day I chant certain number of rounds of holy name, and when I finish my rounds, then I will give you my association." And so Haridas Thakur was chanting, and she just sat there listening. And in this way, the whole night went by. So when the sun rose and it was morning, Haridas Thakur said, "I'm sorry, I couldn't fulfill your desire." So so she said, "Okay, I'll come again tonight." So that night also the same thing happened. And but on the third day, her attitude completely changed. Just by hearing Haridas Thakur's pure chanting of the holy name, she became transformed. She fell down at Haridas Thakur's feet and admitted what actually happened, that she was sent by Ramchandra Khan to make him fall down. Haridas Thakur said, "I already knew that. And I would have already left the place. But I just stayed on simply to deliver you. For your sake I stayed on." So in this way, Haridas Thakur then told her that you distribute all your wealth to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and after giving everything away, you come here and you chant, sit here and chant the holy name of the Lord. And saying that, Haridas Thakur left that place. So, and that person, that lady, became a great devotee. So great that many exalted Vaishnavas used to come to see her and appreciate her devotion to Krishna. Then Haridas Thakur was traveling, going to different places, and in course of his travel he came to Saptagram. Saptagram is literally means seven villages. Those seven villages situated on the confluence of Ganga, Jamuna and Saraswati, which is known as Triveni. There, that was the place where Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle were ruling. They were very, very wealthy landlords there. And they were also very pious. Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle were very, very pious personalities. And so Haridas Thakur came there, and that is the time actually Raghunath Das Goswami came in contact with Haridas Thakur, and he was influenced by him. And he was a young boy at that time, but one very wonderful thing happened there. Haridas Thakur was explaining the glory of the holy name. And he, in course of his describing the glory of the holy name, Haridas Thakur mentioned that the liberation that one cannot achieve after millions of lifetimes of Brahman realization That liberation is achieved just by Naam Abhash, in the clearing stage of chanting the holy name of the Lord. So, you see, that it's a very heavy statement. The liberation, generally people used to think those days that liberation is the ultimate goal of life. And Haridas Thakur pointed out the liberation that cannot be achieved by not only million, 10 million lifetimes. Koti janme brahmo gyane jei mukti noy, shudhumatra namabhashe shei mukti hoy. The liberation that one cannot achieve after 10 million lifetimes of Brahman realization, impersonal realization of Brahman, just by Naam Abhash, the chanting of the holy name in the clearing stage, one achieves that liberation. So, Naam Abhash, the holy name can be chanted in three ways. Offensive chanting, clearing chanting, and pure chanting. Offensive chanting may give some material benefit, but offensive chanting is not desirable. It's offensive. Chanting the holy name of Krishna is Krishna himself. But if there is offense while chanting, then Krishna will not, the holy name will not manifest as Krishna. The holy name, Namakhar Bahirai Naam Kobhinai. Just the syllables of the name will be uttered, but that is not the name of the Lord. So that is the offensive chanting. But when the offenses are removed, then it is the clearing stage of chanting. And when the chanting is performed purely, pure chanting gives Krishna prema. Chanting in clearing stage gives liberation, but pure chanting gives Krishna prema, love of Krishna, which is the ultimate achievement. It's way beyond liberation. Liberation is like, say, liberation means getting out of the prison house. Getting out of the prison house cannot be the ultimate goal. Because when one goes out of the prison, then what will he do? Just going out of the prison is not enough. In his free state, he'll have to do something. Now, Krishna Prem is something like not only becoming free from the imprisonment, but going straight to the palace of the king and living with the king. So can you imagine, like being in the prison, getting out of the prison and going to the king's palace and live with the king? How many prisoners can achieve that good fortune? But the holy name can give us that good fortune. That is the ultimate purpose of chanting the holy name. Krishna Prem, Krishna Prema Pradayate. The pure chanting of the holy name gives Krishna Prem. Anyway, in course of that discussion, when Haridas Thakur said that the liberation that one cannot achieve even after a million lifetimes of Brahman realization, that liberation is achieved just in the clearing stage of chanting the holy name. So there was a very arrogant and puffed up Brahmin there. His name was Gopal Chakravarti. So he protested. He just challenged him. He said, "What are you talking about? This cannot be true. This statement is not appropriate." And in this way, he even said that if such a statement is true, then I'll cut off my nose. And so in this way he embarrassed Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur just, in his humble Vaishnava way, just tolerated it. But surprisingly, within 3 days' time, that Gopal Chakravarti developed leprosy. And what happens when one gets leprosy? Leprosy causes the flesh and bone to melt away. It's an ulcer that causes even the bone to decompose. And true enough, his nose fell off due to leprosy. And also, he used to be the tax collector of Hiranya Majumdar and Govardhan Majumdar, Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle. And they immediately sacked him. When he behaved like that with Haridas Thakur, they fired him from his job also. So this person was thrown into a very, very miserable condition just due to offending a pure devotee like Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur then came to a place called Fulia. He lived in a place called Fulia, which is on the bank of the river Ganges. And he used to live in a cave. And people used to come to see him in that cave. But people started to feel, those who used to come and sit there, after a while, they used to feel that their body was to burn. They couldn't understand what was happening. Why coming there? They used to come with an intention to listen to Srila Haridas Thakur. But they started to feel very uneasy and burning sensation in their bodies. Then a snake doctor, in India you get people, those who are expert in snake charming and dealing with snakes. So one such snake doctor came there and he pointed out that actually there is a very, very poisonous snake living in that cave. And the effect of his poison is so intense that what to speak of being bitten by that snake, even by due to the snake's breathing, people are actually feeling this poisonous effect. So they told Haridas Thakur, you shouldn't live here in the same cave. There is such a poisonous snake. So Haridas Thakur accepted that proposal. He said, okay, then let that gentleman stay here. I will leave. But then to everyone's great surprise, they saw a huge snake crawling out of the cave. Even that snake had so much respect for Haridas Thakur that he felt that I would leave the cave than Haridas Thakur leaves the cave. And he went away. So was the power of Haridas Thakur's devotion to Krishna, that even a snake could recognize it and respond in such a honorable way. Haridas Thakur's name and glory started to spread in this way. People became very, very, very respectful towards Haridas Thakur, and naturally his glory started to spread. But hearing that, the Muslim Nawab, the king of that place, king of Bengal at that time, became very, very upset and envious. And he felt that it's not a good example that a Muslim is behaving like a Hindu. So he was arrested. He was brought to the king. King at first tried to tell him that, look, this is not right. Due to your great good fortune, you have been born in a Muslim family. And you are behaving, you are accepting the activities of the Hindus. So Haridas Thakur said, look, so many Hindus are becoming Muslims. So if one Muslim become Hindu, what's the big loss? So the king said, look, as I told you, it is a great, to be born as a Muslim is a great good fortune. Due to your heaps of pious activities, you got your birth in the Muslim family. So you should take full advantage of it. So then Haridas Thakur said, look, I am just chanting the name of the Lord. The Lord is not Hindu or Muslim. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. God is one. So I have developed this attachment to chanting the name, glorifying Him. So please allow me to do that. The king became furious. And especially he was provoked by his ministers and other associates, that this person must be punished. So then king said, look, I'm telling you, give up this business of yours, chanting this mantra, Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra. He didn't say that. If he did that, then he would have been delivered. But he meant that. Then. So then Haridas Thakur said, look, even if my body is cut to pieces, even if my life here leaves my body, still I won't be able to stop chanting the holy name. So then the king said, okay, let's see how true is your word. And he ordered his executioners that Jallads, those who execute people. So he called the executioners and told them to beat him in 22 marketplaces and kill him in that way. Publicly beating him, he should be killed. So that everybody can see the consequence of a Muslim becoming a Hindu. If a Muslim takes to Hindu practices, then this is going to be the consequence. So they took Haridas Thakur and started to beat him. But Haridas Thakur just tolerated. He simply kept on chanting, totally unaffected by this merciless beating. Not one person beating. Three, four of them. Like they beat in such a way that one cannot actually breathe. Because before when you gasp, when you're about to gasp, then another stroke comes. So, in this way they are beating Haridas Thakur. But Haridas Thakur just kept on chanting the holy name, totally unaffected. This incident had been revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later on during his Mahaprakash Leela. When Mahaprabhu, in Srivas Thakur's house, revealed his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then Mahaprabhu started to tell them about various incidences that happened to different devotees long time ago. And he told about Haridas Thakur. That Haridas, do you remember that this Nawab ordered to kill you by being beaten in 22 marketplaces? At that time, seeing your condition, seeing what they were doing to you, I was about to kill all the Muslims, all the Javanas. But because you are wishing them well, that's why my Sudarshan Chakra couldn't do anything. He was ready to send his to Sudarshan Chakra to kill all those people. But in spite of being treated in such a way, Haridas Thakur was wishing them well. Again, this is a wonderful nature, character of a devotee. Even though people hurt them, even though people mistreat them, but they maintain their merciful attitude towards their worst enemy. They don't have any enemy. A devotee doesn't have any enemy. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed his back. His back was carrying the marks of this slashing of the whips. And Mahaprabhu said, you know, I took, when you did not allow me to get rid of them by killing them through my Sudarshan Chakra, then I took all these beatings on my back. So this is how the Supreme Personality of Godhead protects his devotees. A devotee surrenders to the Lord, and the Lord takes care of him in all respects. So Haridas Thakur didn't feel any pain because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking the beating himself. So now these jallads, these executioners, became very, very afraid when they saw that nothing is happening to Haridas Thakur. In spite of this merciless beating, nothing was happening to him. He was simply chanting the holy name in ecstasy. So they could understand that he is a very, very exalted spiritual personality. So they realized what they have done. They have offended such an exalted personality. So they fell at his feet and said, please, forgive us. But then they had another consideration that, look, we have been ordered to kill you. Now, if we go back to the king without killing you, then the king will kill us because we didn't follow his command. So Haridas Thakur said, okay, then I will die. So he laid down and no sign of life in his body. There was no sign of life. He was just... So they thought then they would carry him and take him to the king. But his body was so heavy that they couldn't even lift him. They tried their best, but they couldn't even make his body even move an inch. So then they started to cry again. What shall we do? We can't carry you. So then his body became light and they could carry him and took his body to the court of the king. So the king said, good, you have killed him. Very good. So generally Muslims are buried. They think that burial gives them liberation. So he said that he should not get the touch of earth. He should not be buried. Throw him in the river. So they threw him in the river Ganges, and Haridas Thakur's body kept floating, and it came to Shantipur, where Advaita Acharya was there. And so arriving in Shantipur, Haridas Thakur started to chant the holy name of the Lord so loudly that Advaita Acharya, they all were very worried because they heard what happened. They were all very, very worried. And Advaita Acharya, seeing Haridas Thakur's voice chanting the holy name, he became so happy, he just came running and both of them embraced each other. And so then Advaita Acharya took Haridas Thakur to Shantipur, to his house. Haridas Thakur lived in Shantipur. He was very close to Advaita Acharya. And they used to spend time together. And one day, when Advaita Acharya was performing the Shraddha ceremony of his father, so he decided to give the Shraddha Patra to Haridas Thakur. Generally, it is offered that foods, the prasadam of the Lord that is offered on the occasion of Shraddha, is the main plate, the Mahaprasad, is offered to the most exalted personality. So Advaita Acharya decided to offer the Shraddha Patra to Haridas Thakur. And as a result of that, the Brahmanas became very upset. So many of us were present and he totally disregarded us and gave it to this Muslim. So that was the attitude of the caste Brahmanas. So they decided to ostracize Advaita Acharya because of this act of his. That means cast him out of the Brahminical society. Now, Brahmanas at home, they perform yajna. Generally, the fire of yajna continues to burn. It doesn't extinguish. It continues to burn. At the time of, they may keep the fire on. And at the time of yajna, they put some more wood and things and light the fire, perform the yajna, and they continue to have the fire. So that's the general custom. So when they all went back home, everyone found that the fire has been extinguished, the yajna fire has been extinguished. Not only yajna fire, when they tried to light fire, the fire won't burn. They couldn't light fire to even cook their food. The fire just disappeared from the whole village. So then they decided to bring some fire from other village. They were carrying fire, but when they came to the vicinity of the village, as soon as they came to the precinct of the village, the fire got extinguished. So they started to wonder, what's happening? And then somebody suggested that, look, we may have committed a great offense to Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur. And so they fell at Advaita Acharya's feet and said, please save us from this situation. So Advaita Acharya said that you all are such exalted brahmanas, the fire generally stays in the mouth of the brahmanas. That means by chanting mantra, the brahmanas can create fire. So you all are brahmanas, so create fire from chanting mantra or from your mouth. So then finally Advaita Acharya told that offense was not really committed to me. You have committed offenses to this Haridas Thakur. So go and beg forgiveness from him. So then they fell at his feet. And Haridas Thakur, naturally a Vaishnava, immediately forgave them. And again fire came back to their house. When Haridas Thakur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met, as you all know, Mahaprabhu made him the Namacharya. Mahaprabhu came to give the holy name and he made him the Acharya. Although he was born in a Muslim family, now there is another point, like the caste Brahmanas cannot even accept that fact that Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family, although they are Vaishnavas. Like those who are adhering to the Brahminical heritage, they say that Haridas Thakur was actually born in a Brahmin family, but brought up by some Muslims. But anyway, our Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, did not accept that statement. Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family, which actually indicates that Krishna consciousness is meant for everybody. Vaishnaber nahi jati kuladi bichar. There is no consideration of caste and creed of a Vaishnava. Chandalopi dija srishta hari bhakti parayana. When one accepts hari bhakti, even if a chandal, the most degraded of the human race, if a chandal even accepts Krishna consciousness, he becomes superior to a brahmana, dija shrestha. So in order to make that point clear, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged for Haridas Thakur to be born in a Muslim family. And Srila Prabhupada has demonstrated that all over the world. Anybody can become a devotee. Devotional service is not relative to our physical condition. Devotional service is exclusively pertaining to the spiritual identity of an individual. Mahaprabhu showed even the animals became affected by chanting of the holy name. They were dancing, animals were dancing, wild animals in the forest of Jharikhanda. Hearing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's chanting, they started to dance, and in their own way they also started to chant the holy name. That means the effect of the pure chanting of the holy name penetrates to the gross and subtle body and comes to the region of the soul and awakens the spiritual identity of an individual. That is what the holy name does. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set such a wonderful example through Haridas Thakur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made another very wonderful point here. One day Mahaprabhu was discussing with Haridas Thakur. Haridas, the holy name is there, and holy name is meant to deliver the entire world. But the human beings will get the benefit by hearing and chanting, we can understand. But what will happen to the animals, insects? Sthavar jangam, he used the expression moving and non-moving entities. Non-moving entities, trees and plants. What will happen to them? So Haridas Thakur told them that the holy name will take care of everyone. You yourself have demonstrated, we heard from Balabhadra Bhattacharya, that how he made the wild animals in the forest dance in ecstasy with your chanting. So that means that even the animals, when they hear, they may not be able to chant, but when they hear this holy name, just by hearing they'll become delivered. So, and then the consideration came, what about the trees and plants? Haridas Thakur said, when the holy name is chanted and sung, the echo that is heard, that echo is not really echo. It is a chanting of the trees and plants. So even the trees and plants also will chant the holy name of the Lord. This is how inconceivable your mercy is in this age. So in this way, Haridas Thakur, or rather through Haridas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set such a wonderful, glorious example of the effect of the chanting, the potency of the chanting of the holy name, the mercy of the chanting of the holy name. And Srila Prabhupada so mercifully gave it to us. We can see what an amazing sacrifice Srila Prabhupada made. He was 70 years old, 69 years old at that time. He was wonderfully situated in Vrindavan. Like staying just next to Rupa Goswami's Samadhi. What can be better fortune than that? In one of the most prominent temples in Vrindavan. He had his situation, such a nice situation he had. But Srila Prabhupada left that wonderfully exalted spiritual situation. And he decided to go to America in a cargo ship, like the ship that carries goods, is not meant for passengers. Did he ever consider traveling in a goods train? It moves so slow and no comfort, you know, no seat, no arrangements for riding properly. So being in a cargo ship or something like that. But Srila Prabhupada not only accepted that opportunity, he begged Sumati Morarji for that opportunity. Sumati Morarji was extremely reluctant to let Prabhupada go to America in this condition. And she tried to persuade Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, please don't make such a request. What will you do in America? Who will listen to you in America? That's exactly what she told Prabhupada. We had the good fortune of meeting her. And she was telling us like how she tried to persuade Srila Prabhupada not to go. She even told Swamiji, what will you eat there? They don't eat anything but meat. What will you eat there? you won't get any vegetarian food. What to speak of Krishna Prasad? But Srila Prabhupada appealed to her, practically begged her, please let me go. This is the last opportunity I can ever have. My Guru Maharaj asked me to go to the West and spread Krishna consciousness there. I tried for 44 years, but I didn't succeed. And at this very end of my life, maybe I'll give it a chance, give it a try. So please allow me to go. So finally Sumati Morarji agreed to let him go. And she also made arrangement that whenever you want, you can come back. Like all you have to do is just go to the office in New York and you can tell them that you want to come back. So, because she was quite concerned that Prabhupada probably won't be able to stay in America for a long time. But in this way Srila Prabhupada went. And Prabhupada himself also wrote that many times he even thought of going back. But then he changed, at the last moment he changed his mind. In this way, there was an intense struggle for 1 year. No money, no support, no success in preaching, apparently. But then, the amazing things started to happen. Prabhupada goes to the Lower East Side. Some young boys and girls came forward to help him. And they got him a place. Especially Mukunda Maharaj, Michael Grant, played a very, very significant role in the early days. And Prabhupada started to preach in 26 Second Avenue. And then things started to happen. And when it was established in New York, then Prabhupada decided to go to San Francisco, where the real thing was happening. The youth of America were just rushing towards San Francisco, to Golden Gate Park, Haight-Ashbury, the center of the counterculture. Srila Prabhupada goes there. And amazing things started to happen. Wonderful devotees came forward, joined the movement, and assisted Srila Prabhupada in such a wonderful way. And here we have one such wonderful disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Shivram Maharaj, as a young man, offered himself to Srila Prabhupada's service and underwent so many difficulties and at the same time so many exciting situations. And as a result of this help from the youth of America, Krishna consciousness started to spread all over the world. This is also Krishna's arrangement. So Prabhupada's coming to the West, establishing ISKCON and spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world is actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's divine arrangement. And this movement is meant to spread all over the world in every town and village. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead says something, can it ever go in vain? His words never go in vain. Bhagavatam says it very clearly. The words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead never goes in vain. So when he says, in every town and village all over the world, literally it's going to happen. And this is Mahaprabhu's divine arrangement. Bhaktivinod Thakur coming, reviving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur coming and giving it a thrust, spreading it all over India. Then Prabhupada's arrival and spreading it all over the world. And the continuation of that mission is going to happen through this divine arrangement of Srila Prabhupada through ISKCON. We need an institution to make such a thing happen. The continuity of this wonderful mission needs an institutional structure. And Srila Prabhupada structured in such a perfect way that even after 35 years after his disappearance, this movement is not only survived, but it's growing, it's spreading Krishna consciousness. And this is how it's going to go on. With the passing of time, this movement is going to grow. And eventually, it will spread in every town and village, literally in every town and village. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Shivra Maharaj, will you say something? Khando khando hai deho jai jodi pran, tobutana charibo badane Krishna naam. If my body is cut to pieces, khando khando hai deho jai jodi pran, even if my life here leaves my body, even then I will not give up the chanting of the holy name. Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. It's a short visit. Actually, I'm just transiting back to India. And I thought that since I'm here, maybe I'll just take advantage of this opportunity to be with you all. Do you think it's a good idea to continue? Hare Krishna. So we were actually in question-answer session. Is there any more questions? Okay, then I think we have to bring you back to the sink. Yeah. Okay, so you all have... are you all convinced that the holy name is the way for making spiritual advancement in this age? Yes? How many of you are convinced? Please raise your hand. Those who are really convinced, raise both your hands. And say, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama.
Hare Hare. This is the process that Krishna himself gave. Of course, in the scriptures, there is a mention that in the age of Kali, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatirannatha. The chanting of the holy name is the only way for this age of Kali. Besides that, there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way for us making spiritual advancement. But the main thing is, the most important consideration is, that Krishna himself came. And he gave this name. And he personally demonstrated how to take advantage of this holy name, along with his associates. In this line, the first person is Advaita Acharya Prabhu. Advaita Acharya, seeing the very, very degraded condition of this age, he felt that unless Krishna himself comes, there is no possibility of rectifying this situation. Who is Advaita Acharya? How many of you know who Advaita Acharya is? Yes, who is Advaita Acharya? Yes, Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu himself. Now, who is Mahavishnu? Do we need to discuss that a little bit? Who is Mahavishnu? Mahavishnu is the originator of this material creation. He lies in the causal ocean. Causal ocean. There's an ocean of cause. Cause is a substance. Just as water is a substance and there's an ocean of water. Saltwater ocean. Atlantic, Pacific, and so forth. There's saltwater ocean. Similarly, in this planet, in this structure of the universe, there are different types of oceans. There is saltwater ocean, there is sugar water ocean, there is liquor ocean, there is an ocean of ghee, there is an ocean of yogurt, there is an ocean of milk, there is an ocean of pure water. So there are different types of oceans. Now similarly, there is an ocean of cause. Like, don't you know, behind every action there is a cause? Can there something happen without a cause? Everything has a because. Right? By the cause, everything happens. So there is an ocean of cause, and Vishnu, Krishna expands into Vishnu in order to create this material nature, and he lies in that causal ocean. And when you breathe underwater, what happens? When you breathe underwater, bubbles generate. So Mahavishnu, as he breathes under causal ocean, lying in causal ocean, the bubbles that are generated, each single bubble is an universe. So these universes are actually generating from Mahavishnu's breathing. And mind you, Mahavishnu is not breathing only through his nose and mouth. Mahavishnu is also breathing through every pore of his body. And each bubble is an universe. So mind you, that Mahavishnu who is the cause, the primeval cause of this material creation, that Mahavishnu is Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya felt that the condition of this world at this time is impossible to rectify, incorrigible. Therefore, he decided to ask the Lord to come. And how did he ask him to come? He was chanting the name of the Lord with Tulasi buds, Tulasi Manjari, and Ganga water. And as a result of that, Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, came. So, as I mentioned earlier, that this Krishna is not an incarnation. Krishna is the origin of all incarnations. Govindam Adi Purusham. This Mahavishnu is an expansion. Ram Chandra Ramadi Murtishu is an expansion. Ja Karanar Navajale Bhajatisma Yoga निद्राम अनंत जगदंड सरोम कूप आधार शक्तिम अवलंब परांस मूर्तिम गोविंदम आदि पुरुषम तमहं भजामि ज कारणर्णव जले वन हु लाइज इन द कॉजल ओशन कारणर्णव जले कारण मीन्स कॉज अर्णव मीन्स ओशन भजती स्म जोग निद्राम अनंत जगदंड सरोम कूप ही इज लाइंग इन अ Yoga Nidra, in his transcendental sleep. And from his Roma Kupa, from the pores of his body, the universes are being generated. So, Krishna came because Advaita Acharya Prabhu was requesting him to come. He could not disregard Advaita Acharya's appeal. Mahaprabhu said at some point, I was peacefully lying down in my sleep, and this personality, whose name was Nara, meaning shaved head, he started to shout and call me and woke me up. And because of him I had to come. So this is how Advaita Acharya actually made Sri Chaitanya Krishna come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How did he make Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come? By chanting the holy name. Then we saw how through Haridas Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated the glory of the holy name, the potency of the holy name, the importance of the holy name. And he himself showed it, the effect of chanting of the holy name. And he made everybody chant the holy name, and he requested everybody to chant the holy name. Now just see, Krishna is asking us to chant. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki Jai. Jai Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari. In one hand, Krishna is asking you to chant, and the same Krishna is sitting in your heart. Is Krishna sitting in your heart? How many of you agree with me? Very good. I have a wonderful audience. You're agreeing with everything that I'm saying. So Krishna is situated in our heart. So see, Krishna is sitting in our heart. Krishna is situated in our heart. And Krishna told us to chant. And when Krishna sees that we are chanting, how will Krishna feel? Just consider, you have a child, and you ask the child to do something, and when you see the child is doing that, how do you feel? You feel happy, you feel very favorably disposed. And that's how Krishna feels. He says, actually Krishna wants us to go back to him. Prabhupada very emphatically pointed out that when the son goes away from the father, how does the father feel? Can you imagine how the parents, how heartbroken they feel? Now who are we in relation to Krishna? His children. Krishna is the Supreme Father and we are his children. And we have gone away from him. We rejected him and went away. So we can well imagine how Krishna feels. So Krishna naturally wants us to go back to him. And therefore Krishna makes all these arrangements that we can go back to him. He himself comes, he sends his devotees, he makes various arrangements so that we can revive our relationship with him and go back to him. Therefore Prabhupada said that if we take one step towards Krishna, Krishna will take thousands of steps to come and pick us up. Actually, it is not our eagerness that matters so much. We may not be so much willing, but if we just make one step towards Him, saying, Krishna, please allow me to go back to You, then Krishna will make all the arrangements. And this is the arrangement that Krishna made, to chant the holy name. So just chant the holy name and Krishna will say, okay, I will make all the arrangements to come back, for you to come back. Now the question arises, then why at the first place Krishna allowed us to go away from Him? And why Krishna doesn't take us back to Him Himself? Why do we have to make that endeavor? Why do we have to take the step? The answer to that is, Krishna wants us to love Him. And love cannot be forced. Love cannot be forced. Love has to be spontaneous. We have to decide whether you love Him or not. That's why Krishna gave us the freedom. Freedom to decide whether we love Him or not. When you don't want to love Him, Krishna says, what can I do? You don't want to love Me, although I want you to love Me. I love you. But you don't love Me. Therefore, if we just make a simple little gesture, simply to express that we love Krishna, then Krishna will make all the arrangements for us to go back to Him. And the way to express our submission to Him is simply chanting the holy name. Just chant, and that is the way to express our love. Chanting the holy name actually in a way says, Krishna, I love you, I love you, I love you. Krishna, please allow me to express how I can love you. Please allow me to serve you, to express my love for you. That's what we are saying through the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Whether we understand or not doesn't matter. We may not understand what it means, but Krishna understands. Therefore, when we say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Krishna will make all the arrangements. That's why our business is simply to chant. Our business is to be in the association of devotees so that we can be induced to chant, inspired to chant. And the ultimate consideration is that we can leave our body chanting the holy name, hearing the chanting of the holy name. That is the ultimate goal of life. That is why association of devotees is so important. We should simply desire that I can leave my body being surrounded by the devotees. Because even if I am not, I may not be able to chant the holy name at the time, but the devotees will chant. And that is how I will be able to hear the chanting of the holy name. Devotees will create the good fortune for me. So this is how wonderful arrangements Krishna has made for all of us. Hare Krishna. Now, do you have any question?